Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity and the health and the ability to be here in this building today to fellowship with your people and be able to hear the Word of God preached freely. God, thank you for this. Now help us not take it for granted. Help us not waste this time. Help us to hear what you have for us individually today. Speak to our hearts. And Father, for this to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power as he comes and speaks and preaches to us from this passage. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, please make sure your cell phone is turned off or turned to vibrate or something like that so it doesn't go off in the service. Check that right quick and make sure that is so, please. Now, there's a lot of coming and going this morning in the service. I want you to sit now. I want you to listen very carefully for a few moments. God has taught us certain great truths about life, not only in his word, but he wrote those same truths on the face of his creation. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What you put in the ground is what you get back. What you sow is what you reap. Great truths like that throughout the Bible. There's another one here. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse number 1. Ecclesiastes is a book about, it's called, the word Ecclesiastes means the preacher. It's by Solomon. He's an old man here. He's coming down now to the end of his life. And at the end of his life, Solomon's looking back over what he has, what he's accomplished, what he's achieved, what he's attained. And he's done quite a bit. He is the richest man of his day. As a matter of fact, Solomon is the richest man who has ever lived. He built the building, the temple, the first temple in Jerusalem. In this day, today, just in gold. Over $160 billion in gold in that one building. Entire rooms inlaid with gold. As a matter of fact, if you take the world's production of gold in 1 year today, it would take that much to inlay and fix that, to build that temple. So he'd accomplished a great deal. He was the wisest man of his day. People came from all over the world just to ask him questions and hear his answers. So he's famous. He's wealthy. He has 1,000 wives. I don't know how wise he is on that one, but he has 1,000 wives, 700 of them princesses. Took him 13 and a half years. If he married one a week, it took him 13 and a half years of weddings to marry 700 princesses, 300 concubines. His own personal choir of 200 people that would just come in. He'd say, I'd like to hear some music. He'd have 200 people, men and women, stand there and sing for him in his palace. Took him 7.5 years to build that Temple of Solomon, the one with all the gold in it. Took him 13 years to build his own house. This guy had, we call it the package. He had the stuff. He had possessions, he had position, he had fame, he's got it all. And the book of Ecclesiastes is this man looking back over his life and all that he has done. And the repeated theme in this book is, it's vanity. Vanity of vanities, it's all worthless. It doesn't mean anything. Now, could you, look at me. Could you imagine that for 5 seconds, that somebody who had all of that would look back over their life. And by the way, it wasn't because he had it and he lost it. He had it and he still had it. Wasn't that he accumulated all this stuff and it all got away from him? He had it all and he's sitting there on a throne made out of solid ivory overlaid with gold. His horses drink out of solid gold troughs and eat out of solid gold feeding troughs. And he had 5,000 of those. This man has the package. He has everything. He makes Donald Trump look like chump change. And he looks at his life, listen, and he says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He said, it doesn't mean anything to me. He said, what good does it do you? And then right in the middle of this book, right here, not in the middle, but down about chapter 3 and verse 1, I want you to look at that one verse. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. He makes some wise observations, and what he says in that one verse right here that God gives us is this. Everything has a season to it. Everything has a winter, spring, summer, fall to it. You know, like the seasons are supposed to be. Everything has a season to it. To everything there is a season and a time frame for each of those seasons. To everything there is a season and a time frame for every purpose in life. Now he's sitting there as the old man looking back over his life. He's probably like 61 or something. And he's looking back over his life and he's saying, my goodness, how the seasons have changed. He's not talking weather. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. There's some things we can learn from this thing about this changing of the seasons, you know. First of all, if things are right, then it's because things are in order. We're having a drought right now. You know why? We're not having the rainy season we're supposed to have. When seasons get mixed up and it's summer instead of winter and winter instead of summer and all those sorts of things, nothing's right. But listen to me carefully. Nothing's right in life if things are not in order either. The Bible says God is not the author of confusion. And the word confusion in the Bible doesn't mean you don't understand something. It means things are out of order in life. And are we out of order today as a society? Things are out of order today. Something's not working. Listen to me. Something's not quite working the way it's supposed to be working. Don't you ever just kind of stand there and scratch your head and say, now, wait a minute. That's not the way it should be. That's not how things ought to be. And because things are out of order today, and because that is the case, things are just not right in some people's lives. Things are not right in society when it's that way. Things are not right in families when it's that way. Things are not right in a church when it's that way. And most importantly, things are not right in your life when things are out of order. Oh, by the way, and that's not the order you and I set. Well, I have a certain way. No. The way God made things. See, ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you something this morning? Listen, it's very simple, but it's very true. This book is God's word that tells us the way he intended it to be. How the order of things ought to be, the way it's supposed to go, the way God made it. Because remember something, when God made everything, it was right. Genesis chapter 2, when he was done, God created everything. We didn't crawl out of primordial ooze 225 trillion years ago. God said it, and it was. And the first day, and the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, and rested on the seventh, not because he was tired, because he was finished. When God made everything, he put it in a certain order and made it a certain way. And then in his word, he showed us the way things are supposed to be in order. And that's what the book is for, to show you what is the correct order. Now listen to me, people. When life is not right, it's because it's not in order, in line with that book. When the book is out, life goes out the window. We could use example after example this morning, but the classic one, of course, is the educational system of this nation. America spends more money on education than any nation on this earth. And we consistently rank the lowest in test scores. How is it we're spending so much money and getting so little? Because they're more interested in teaching them about hugging trees and being tolerant and being diverse than teaching them how to read and write. And so things are out of order now. So it's all messed up. But you know what happened? Because they kicked God out of the school and prayer out of our schools many years ago, back in the late 50s, early 60s. We dismissed God from our schools, boom, and things go down the tube. And now people are scratching their head going, well, I wonder what's going to work. Well, I tell you what'll work. It'll work what fixing what you shouldn't have broke to begin with. Put God back in this thing. Use the Bible as, say, well, you can't do that in a pluralistic society. Well, then get rid of that too and get back to the Bible and put it back in order. But it's the case in every situation this morning. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, that's a simplistic view. No. It's a narrow view. It's narrow as Genesis to the Revelation. And that book right there will put it back in order again in our life, in our society, and in your life. When things are right, they're in order. When you have summer and winter, you got a problem. We have lakes that are too low. We have water situations. We got problems because there's not the spring and the winter and spring of rainy season to give us sufficient amount of water. The seasons are out of order. That's trouble. Now, how come we can see that when it talks to, when talking about seasons and weather and rain conditions and snowpack and all that stuff, and we can't see that in a person's life? If it's right, it's in order the way God made it. God put the seasons in order. God made them the way that they are. God made the season to be winter, spring, summer, fall, winter, spring, summer, fall, sun rises in the east, sets in the west. I mean, it's just, isn't it fascinating how this entire incredibly intricate universe, ladies and gentlemen, that covers hundreds of trillions of miles, how it all fits together and works. Isn't it amazing, this huge accident we see every day, how this whole thing is just by chance, and one day there was nothing, and all of a sudden it turned into people? Isn't that amazing how that just happened? No! There was a God in heaven who had an order for things, and he put it all together in an order. And that order makes it right. Get outside of the order and it doesn't work. Example, the matter of salvation. A person must in this life, listen to me, in this life, a person must accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in order to have eternal life. John 3:36, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And the Bible says, the wrath of God abideth on him. Now we know for certain, according to the order the way God has made it, from the time of you draw your first breath till the day you draw your last one, somewhere between those two breaths, you must come to God accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in order to have eternal life. And if you don't, you won't. The saved, by trusting Christ, go to heaven. Not the baptized, the saved. Not the church member, the saved. The person who says yes to Christ, accepts him as their personal Savior, they will go to heaven. If they don't, then they won't. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. Let me read it to you if I may this morning. Listen very carefully. It says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee or nourished you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. See, here's why God makes it such a now thing about salvation. Because we don't know when the seasons will change. Do you have the guarantee of tomorrow? We don't have that. We've all sat there and watched the news and saw people's lives change in an instant. They go to work and some nut runs down a hallway with a gun and starts shooting people. And of course the problem is the guns, you understand that. That's why forks cause obesity. Yeah, right. No, the problem is the nut behind the gun. And the other thing is the person behind the fork, but we don't want to go into that right now. The truth of the matter is, hey, wait a minute, it's getting a little close to home. So the truth of the matter is, but listen, those people went to work, they didn't come home. Didn't 9/11 show us that once again? Those poor people went in those twin towers and they didn't come home. The Pentagon building, that field out there in Pennsylvania, those people didn't go home. To show us that your life can change just like that. Woo! Because just like seasons, they change gradually, but they do change. And what happens when they change? That time's up. You see, and it's right. If it's in order, it's right. But it's God's order. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. Something else this truth teaches us, and that is everything in its season. Everything in its season. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose of those seasons. Everything in its season. See, here's the thing. We don't get to choose which one we want. You get the idea that winter's talking about the cold time of year, the dark time of year, the difficult time of year. Our lives go through seasons like that, don't they? Dark and difficult days. Yes? When I was in the military, I was stationed up in the Arctic. And you have 3.5 months of 24-hour darkness and 3.5 months of 24-hour daylight. The daylight time is really interesting because the sun just circles in the sky. The season, as it changes from there to there, doesn't one day just do that. It changes gradually. But when the sun's up, I mean, it's 24-hour daylight. The most difficult and the coldest time of year, 24-hour darkness. That's where days we had 100 below zero. Exposed flesh, you're freezing 15 seconds. You'd walk from that building to your car that distance. If you weren't covered up, you'd have frostbite, just like that. And those are the dark, cold days. You get times in your life where you couldn't sleep because you look outside, it was dark all the time. You ask somebody walking down the hall in the barracks, is it 12 noon or 12 midnight? Because we all work shifts and things like that, so our days were always turned up. And ladies and gentlemen, sometimes in life, there are the dark, cold days. But you know what happens, don't you? When I was just as the season was finishing of 24-hour darkness and it was starting to get a little bit light, I got on an airplane and I flew to Copenhagen, Denmark, which has been in the news this week, as a matter of fact. And for us, it was the beginning, the ending of our winter up there, if there was ever such a thing. But to them in Copenhagen, it was the full bloom of their spring. Oh, my. I don't know if you ever heard of the Tivoli Gardens or not, but oh my soul, you talk about beautiful. Going from a cold, frozen, ice-covered, snow-covered, I mean, we had bushes, a few little bushes. We put up a sign, Greenland National Forest. I mean, there's not a tree on the thing. Cold, freezing, cold, snow, rocks, ice, that was it. Land on an airplane in Copenhagen and Denmark, started to walk through the city. It was about 70 degrees. The sun was out. Tulips everywhere, beautiful flowers, incredible gardens. I just walked around town amazed at what I was seeing, because you see, those beautiful days were made much more beautiful by the cold, dark nights that I had spent up in Greenland. There's people lived in that city, walked by that stuff every day, never paid any attention to it. Not me. I marveled at every garden. Got on a ship, went over to England, was walking around in London, and the English gardens are some of the most famous in the world. Henry VIII's castle out there in Hampton Court. The outside gardens around that castle are incredible. There's a vineyard there, a grapevine there. The trunk of the vine wouldn't even fit in that corner over there. It's over 1,000 years old. And it covered about 3 blocks of an arbor that you walked through. And then they had gardens set up. See, all of that, you know what that made that so beautiful? Those cold, dark nights. And the cold, dark nights made the bright sunshine days much better, you see. Now we think, well, Pastor Johnson, if I didn't have these battles, I didn't have these struggles, I didn't have these difficulties, I didn't have these dark nights, I didn't have these deep valleys, my life would be so much better. No, if all you ever knew was sunshine, you wouldn't appreciate the sunshine after a while. If all you ever knew was just no trouble, no problems, no difficulties, nothing in your life that caused you problems, you wouldn't appreciate them after a while. You just take them for granted. But you get a few cold, dark nights, and when the sun comes out, whoo! You ever get spring fever? See, we don't really have the big seasons here like we do back east. When I was in school in the Midwest, we'd have snow and cold and all that near the Chicago area. And when the first few days of nice sunshine came out, I had my first case of spring fever. I'm sitting in class. The sun's out. There's still snow on the ground out there, but the sun was out. I turned to my buddy Mac and I said, Mac, we got to go throw a baseball or something. He goes, we're in class. I said, I know. Right now. He goes, right now? Right now. I got to go throw a baseball. I don't care if we have to stand in the snow. I got to go throw a baseball. Come on. He goes, what are we going to do? I said, we're just going to get up and walk out and go, I don't feel good. And then go out the door and go get a, and we did. We stood in the snow and threw a baseball because it was spring fever. because of the long... Do you understand that, dear people? You may think God put you in a dark place in your life, in a difficult place in your life, and that's all it is. Listen to me. When the sunshine of His blessing and His help comes in your life, and it will come, you will appreciate those days much more than you would have appreciated them without the dark nights. Everything in its season, you see. Oh, and so when the sunshine comes, we got people, no, every year it never fails. When it's cold, wet, and rainy, oh, last Sunday, it rained so much the animals were pairing up. People were canoeing to their car from the church. People were going, oh, this rain, this nasty rain, man, and there. This, what is it, 75 out there right now? You know what people are saying? Same people? We need the rain. Where were you last week? No, they don't get that. They can't enjoy the season they're in at the time. Hey, right now, look, we don't have to do a lot of yard work. Not much, a little spring cleaning now, getting some stuff ready. But other than that, man, that grass isn't growing too much in the cold. It stays much warmer like this, we've got to get the lawnmower out. But the truth of the matter is, hey, listen to me, you better enjoy the season you're in. You understand that? Everything has to be in its season. It's that way. So that's why you don't want to look back and wish you were younger. You don't want to start all over again. No, you don't. Well, I wish I was 18. I don't want to be that stupid. I don't want to go back and be 18 again. No, I'm sorry. And 18-year-olds, forgive me for insulting you. And you're not stupid. I was when I was 18. You're brilliant. But the truth of the matter, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go back and start married life all over again. All that adjustment stuff when you get married, no more of that. You know how many years it taught me to teach this woman I'm always right, you're wrong? It's still not working. No, I don't want to do that. I'm 61 years old. See, February, March, April, May, June, July, August. I got 8 months before I'm 62. I'm going to enjoy 61 because this is the season I'm in. Are you getting the picture now? To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. This also teaches us this. Seasons don't wait. They don't wait. Oh, I just wish it would stay hot all the time. No, it doesn't do that. It will change. They don't wait for you. Seasons in life, they just don't wait. That's why it doesn't make any difference. You can't say, oh, boy, I wish I would. Remember when you were 8 and a half? Ask an 8-year-old how old they are. They're not 8. They're 8 and a half. You ever heard a 70-year-old say, I'm 70 and three quarters? They don't ever do that. 8 and a half. Because you know why? That half matters to them because they're 6 months now. It's not 8. I'm 8 and a half. Because they can't get this thing right about you're 8, kid. Figure it out. It doesn't make any difference. Nobody's driver's license says 14 and a half. It doesn't. Anyway, because you can't get one. Nobody's driver's license measures it in decimals. Excuse me. But you understand something else? You understand that when you are where you are in your life, you do understand that that does not stay the same. That's why you got to take, look at me. That's why you got to take life and wring every drop of life out of it. Every day God gives you and wring every drop of life out of that. I know it would be different if you were told today that tonight you were going into eternity. And this was your last day and you had 12 hours. It's noon right now. I know you're wondering when I'll be done. Don't worry. It's noon right now. At 12:01 tonight, you're going into eternity. If you knew that, what would you do the next 12 hours? Well, I know I would do some things differently. I know there's some things I'd want to take care of, make sure I got a line ordered, blah, 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 that kind of stuff. But look at me. It's not like I'm going to go out and dye my hair and buy a sports car. First of all, white is right. You see that? It can turn any color but loose. If it stays up there, God help us. And we're all good with that. But really, what would I change drastically about my life? What would I wish I would have done? Well, of course there are things I wish I would have done. There's some places on this earth I wish I would have gotten to before I died. By the grace of God, I put foot on 6 of the 7 continents. I'd like to hit the 7th one someday. But okay, fine. But I can't do that in 12 hours. But you know some ladies are dumb, and I wouldn't sit around going, oh, man, there are so many things that should have been done. Nah. Tried to pretty much live it in the fast lane doing what God wanted me to do up to this point. See, you're sitting around waiting for that season to come when you're going to actually get with the program. You better get with the program because the seasons won't wait for you. Hey, summer's here, so's fall. Fall's coming. So get ready. We're right here. This is supposed to be winter time. Spring is approaching very quickly now. And when spring comes, everything blooms. The sap's running and the nose is running. Everything else takes place. It all happens. But seasons don't wait for you. You have children at home that they don't, their age doesn't stop, you know. Next thing you know, they're 4, then they're 12. And then they're gone, hopefully. I mean, move on. I don't mean like gone. Move on. Because that happens, see. Why is it, look at me, you grandparents. Why is it we figure that out better with our grandchildren than we did with our own kids? Seasons don't wait. And the last thing we learn from two everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose is this. This too shall soon pass. Up there in the Arctic, it didn't go from 24-hour darkness to 24-hour daylight. There was these huge mountains all around our base. Why they built it in this place, I have absolutely no idea. Well, the government did it. That answers that question. We were completely surrounded by these, really, be honest with you, granite cliffs that were all around our base with the exception of one side, and that's where the fjord came in from the ocean. And so when that sun was down, 24-hour darkness, and it started to go to 24-hour daylight, after several weeks, they could pretty much guesstimate when the sun was going to peek up over that ridge for the first time in months. And we had a sunrise gathering, parkas, because it was 40 below, with Hawaiian shirts over the outside of those parkas, sunglasses, lawn chairs. We tried the drinks and they just froze. It didn't work. And we're sitting in the lawn chairs at such and such a time. It was pretty close to the same time every year. We're sitting there and we watch it and the sun went, ooh, and you just saw a sliver of light and it went right down. I mean that quick. I mean if you blinked, you'd miss it. But it was a sunrise party. We're all sitting there in our parkas with our Hawaiian shirts stretched over the outside of them. And the sun went up, whoop, whoop, down. That was it. Okay, there we go. Got our lawn chairs and got up and went back to work. See, you've never been a remote tour. You don't understand how critical things are. But before too long, those sunrises were a little longer. And this too will soon pass. I'm sorry, but nobody stays in the dark winter of their all their entire life. No. Well, I think it is. That's the way my life is right now. Then you don't remember any seasons of the past where God came through and he lifted the load. And the springtime from that winter did come. You don't remember those now. You don't remember what that was like. Right up here, what used to be Central Valley, now Shasta Lake City, living in a drunkard's home. My godly grandparents, every now and then, would come up and visit us. Finally, they saw that the situation was so bad. My drunk stepfather was completely out of control. He was a bartender and a drunk on the north end of Reading. He'd come home and beat my mother, and he'd beat us kids. He's a horrible man. He hated us, and he made sure we knew it. My grandparents came for another visit after a period of time, and they saw the situation was bad. Unbeknownst to us, they had taken my mom aside and said, "Pat, you need to let these children come live with us now." And my mother said, I can't get it stopped, okay. My mom came to us one day, and she said, "Now, kids, my older brother Jack and my sister Cheryl, take your stuff and get it in a suitcase." We thought we were going to go stay some time with the grand folks. She said, "But take everything." And we turned and looked at my mother and said, "What is this?" And she said, "You're going to go live with your grandparents now. You can't stay here anymore. You're going to have to go. And it's for your good." And my mom, little 2x4 squirt, little Texan woman, stood there and just blubbered like a baby. And she said, "I'm sorry, but you can't stay here now. It's not good. You need to go." I wish I could tell you that we all hugged her and said, "No, Mama, let us stay." Oh, no. I never packed a suitcase so fast in my life. She told us what day they were going to come. They had a big picture window in the house we lived in, out in the countryside there. Little couch up against that picture window. And I remember my brother and I kneeling on the couch, looking out the back of the couch through that picture, that glass window, waiting for them to come down that little dirt road that led to our house. our suitcases on the side of the couch and we're watching for them to come. One of those brown and white Chevys with the big wings on it. They pulled up front. We ran out the front door. I don't even remember hugging my mother goodbye. My grandfather popped the trunk. We threw our suitcases in the back of that trunk and we got in the back seat of that car. And as we drove off, my brother looked at me and I looked at him. I said, "Can you believe it? We're going to go live with them. We're going to actually live there." See, well, you should have been more considerate as a child. Yeah, I understand. Please understand, I didn't hate my mother. But it was so bad in that house. Hey, if the bus from the First Church of Satan would have pulled up in front of our house, I'd have got on it. We got to their house and they had... It had the three bedrooms in the house they lived in. My brother and I were staying in one bedroom. They had made us, my grandfather's a carpenter, he had made us these two beds to sleep on, two little separate beds. We put our little stuff, what we had, in the closet. We sit down. She said, "Now, when you're ready, you come on and we'll have dinner. Wash your hands and come on in and sit down at the dinner table." And we sat there that day, and I thought, never again. By the grace of God, I never again did I have to live like that. Now, as a boy and living in it, I thought it would never pass. Oh, but it did. And there have been times in my life when I thought the season of the suffering or difficulty I was in, I could see no daylight, no hope. This is going to be just the way it always is. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. This too will pass. That winter will become spring. And that spring will become summer. And summer will become fall. And things will change. And God will get things. Listen to me, friend. The God of heaven cares as much about you as he does the seasons on this earth. Matter of fact, he cares more. But now here's the issue this morning, and I'm done. You got to make sure you're in his program and his plan, or this too will not pass. It will just get worse. And we'll dig a deeper hole, and it'll get more difficult, and we'll have more problems, and we'll get further from God instead of coming to him, trusting his word, and following the word of God. God, listen, it will pass. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. This will pass if God is in control of the seasons of your life. Don't miss that. Don't think it'll just go away because it'll go away, because it won't. It'll go away because God says, "Now, that's enough for that time. Here's the next one." It says in this very same passage, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.